I'm going to do something for the next few Sunday nights that will be different than what we typically do. And so if you're here for the first time on a Sunday night and say, hey, is this what he normally does? And the answer is no. Usually we spend a great deal of time going through a passage of Scripture. And the need for us from time to time just to have a conversation so that you know where we're coming from as a staff and where we see things going down the road. And so this will be a little bit of teaching, a little bit of practical application for us. One of the things that we were talking about in great length in our time together as a staff towards the end of last year and at the beginning of this year, is to talk about what would it look like for us to be a welcoming church. I know I've got many people in here who have spent predominantly their years and years and years at Madison Avenue, but some of you have been from other churches and have seen other practices and other things that would help us as we go forward. And so to paint that picture a little bit beginning this evening, I do intend to have a guest speaker come in who specializes in this. And so I think it'll be helpful. We're not going to spend 24 weeks on it, I promise, but we will spend a few weeks on it because I really believe that it's part of the key of becoming the kind of church that Jesus builds. But we also have to take some time to scale back and look at some practical ways that this happens. I love Luke 15. I do want to spend a few minutes here before I pray in this passage because I think it's very interesting, the draw, the attraction of Jesus as he welcomed tax collectors and sinners. Think about that. Who are the people that we're trying to welcome? Who are the people that we're trying to reach? And are those people, when they do come, when they do show up, do they feel the welcome of God's people? Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. Jesus was giving them the teaching about the kingdom of God. There was a magnetism, a draw by the Savior. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, complaining, murmuring about this. And they said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. What a great reputation for a church to have. Sinners are welcome at Madison Avenue. The church is supposed to be a hospital for sinners, where they find the hope and they find the gospel of Jesus. So let's pray as we get started. Lord, we thank you for your church. And Father, there's times as the body of Christ that we have to come together and talk about some very practical things. And Lord, I just pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to maybe see things differently than we typically have seen them before. Maybe we need to look at our own practice, at our own habits on Sunday morning and examine our hearts and ask ourselves, are we welcoming the tax collectors and sinners? Are we making them feel at home the way Jesus made them feel at home? Because he wanted to gain a hearing, and we do too. Father, the last thing we want is for tax collectors and sinners to say, we can't go to Madison Avenue. They look down on you there. They really stare you down, make you feel uncomfortable. So, Father, we don't want to be that kind of church. We want to be the kind of church that Jesus builds. And so would you help us tonight to maybe get a little better picture of that? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. when a person begins thinking about coming to our church, where do they start? Now, if this was 1980, the way you would start is you would do a drive-by. You'd get a feel for the location. You'd say to your wife, hey, let's drive by that church and see where it is, and man, let's maybe plan a visit. Because what? There was no website. There was no social media. And so what's unique about the time that we live in today is what? We can and are being checked out by people way before they ever step foot into that door. And so when you begin to look at a first impression of a church, sometimes we focus so much on the Sunday morning experience that we forget that for many people, the first experience of the church is the website. The first experience of the church is the Facebook page. And I'll go ahead and tell you, one of the things that we've done in the last 2 years is upped our presence in social media. And because that is way out of my league of expertise, I'm going to invite Eric, if he would come down at this time, and share with us a little bit about social media and its importance and why we're doing what we're doing. Here's one thing he's going to share with you just to keep you dialed in. We have a worldwide audience on our live stream. Worldwide. That's pretty cool. We're doing international missions on Sunday morning and we're not leaving the building.
Some of our online touch points, or in other words, how we are connecting with people online, kind of broke it down in a few different categories here. But one of the first ones I want to talk about is our Google business listing. So if you go to Google and you search for Madison Avenue or something similar, it's the little listing that comes up that has our name, a little bit of information about us. So we actually have some control over that, and we actually do some things with it, such as pictures and events and things like that to help grab people's attention when they hit that site. So our listing has actually been reached through searches more than 16,000 times in the last quarter, so since October, with more than half of those being direct searches, which are specifically looking for Madison Avenue. In addition to the direct search, the top searches that found us were churches in Maryville, Tennessee, churches near me, and just simply church. And so some of the results of the listing, people getting to that listing over the last quarter, have been 468 website visits, 293 direction requests, so find the location, 61 phone calls, and almost 40,000 photo views. So obviously that leads it to the website once they get to that point. So our website over the last quarter, we had 1,321 users on the website. And of those, 1,234, or 81%, were actually brand new users that hadn't accessed the site before. And more than 55% of the users that come to the site in the last quarter have visited more than one page and spent more than 2 minutes per session. So that doesn't sound like much, but it's actually a really good rate for a website. And what that interprets to is that most of the people were there intentionally and they actually spent time looking around. If you really think about it, 2 minutes on one website is actually quite a lot of time. And as Greg alluded to, since we are reaching countries all over the world, some of our top viewers, other than the U.S., were the following countries: Canada, India, Nigeria, Brazil, Germany, China, Indonesia, the Philippines, and France. And then breaking down a little bit more of our users, 61% of our website viewers are ages 18 to 34. So it's those new families and younger generation. The top pages visited also indicates a desire to learn more about Madison Avenue. And so that's, of course, the homepage, the About Us, live stream and past sermons, the ministries page, and the events. And then, of course, everybody knows Facebook, and we have a social presence there. And, you know, with that page, we currently have 520 follows. And most of those are from the U.S., but we also have some international attention there, too. We have 38 followers from Brazil. We have followers from Kenya, from Ghana, Australia, and Canada. And just this month, our service videos, which is the primary interaction we have on Facebook, had almost 2,000 views. And the month of December had almost 3,000 views. And the average reach of each video is 413 people. And just to close my part, special events are definitely a big opportunity for us to reach out online. It allows us to get a little broader with who we're catering to and who we're trying to speak to. And just a couple events we had this last quarter, obviously the Family Fall Fest was a big event for us. We reached 13,000 people over on Facebook alone. And then the Live Nativity event actually reached over 15,000 people. So quite the presence. Thank you.
You know, I can't thank those guys enough who are daily working in those mediums, getting the word out. And if you think about it, the website is really designed for your front window of your church. I would venture to say that many of you probably as members haven't been on the church website maybe in quite a while. And that's okay, you know, because the church website is designed to attract people, to give them an idea. Hey, if I come to Madison Avenue, what's it look like? What's the worship like? What's the pastor like? What's the staff like? And so they're window shopping, so to speak. But I'm so glad that we have Eric and we have Trent and folks like that who are able to get those things out there. You know, when you come to a staff meeting and one of your communications people says, hey, can we have $50 to boost a Facebook ad? Now, some of you are looking at me like, what in the world is boosting a Facebook ad? And for $50, you can reach 10,000 more people with your event. Okay? If I call the newspaper, that's going to cost me $400, and it's not going to reach 10,000 people. See, the game's changed quite a bit. And look, if you want to drive our numbers up, just log on to Facebook. We'll know you're there. How many of you go on our Facebook stream and say or look at the people who watch? You should do it. It's really neat. They start chiming in. Hey, I'm home. I'm watching. So glad the stream works. So glad we can, you know, be a part of what's happening there. And so that's critically important. So when we talk about the website, what do you want in a website? Something that's clean and not cluttered. Something that's easy to navigate. Something that gives you a snapshot picture of what the church is all about. You've been on websites before where they've driven you crazy because of the way they're organized with all the drop-down tabs and menus and trying to find your way around. Eric does a great job. You come onto our website and you've got this great, beautiful picture from our church. And it's clean, and it's contemporary, and it's modern, and man, it's an attractive website. So we're grateful for that. So let's move forward. Let's say they check out the website, they check out a sermon or two, and they say, you know what, we're gonna go and we're gonna visit that place. How do you get directions to our church? Okay. So which way is GPS going to bring you in? Gracie's is your landmark? You know? What's part of our problem? Could be a good thing, right? We have multiple ways to get here, don't we? So, Kenny, if you invite somebody and you say, hey, love to see you Sunday, come to my Sunday school class, and they ask this question, well, where should I park? And Kenny's like, well, if you come in by the Kenjo, you park over here. But if you come in up by Gracie's, or if you come in by, you know, and so we've got four, at least, maybe five different ways to get here. And so when we start to talk about parking, you know, that's an issue. Where do I park? If you're a first-time guest and you park over beside the activities building because you think that the activities building is the church, then guess what? You got a little bit of a hike to come across. So, what is one of the major complaints about people when they visit a church? It's at the top. They don't know where to park. So, I see Dave back here, and Dave's excited about first impressions and building this team that we're working on that will help us be a more welcoming church. Where's the guest parking? Malcolm, do you know? It's painted on the ground about 40 years ago, Doug. You know, I mean, how are we supposed to expect a guest to see that? And see, here's the issue that Tom Rainer brings out in his book, Welcoming Church, which we're going to use a little bit in this study together on becoming this welcoming church. He says, every church member that you talk to will say, we are very friendly. But when you ask the guests who go to those churches for the first time, they say they're not friendly. Now, what's the difference? We are friendly towards each other because we know each other. But what does a guest do? I'll just go ahead and give you just a little bit of what I see on Sunday morning happening. Hey, you see that guy sitting back there on the third row? Who is it? I don't know. I've never seen him before. Well, let's go over here and ask Al. Al don't know who he is. Al, you know that guy is on the third row? Have you seen him before? No, I hadn't seen him before. Aren't we really good about talking about guests instead of doing what? Somebody walk up there and introduce yourself, man. I haven't seen you here before. And you know what I hear as an excuse? Well, I'm afraid they've been coming for a long time and I just hadn't noticed. You hear that one, don't you? Right? Well, I don't want to offend them. Hey, we've been a member here 3 years. Who are you? You know? And so we have this little standoff. We have this little dance that's going on. We're whispering about the guests. We're murmuring about the guests, but nobody is actually walking up and engaging that guest, at least maybe beyond the front door. So parking is a huge issue. People need to know where to park, especially first-timers. Why? Because we've got a campus that is spread out. Right, we've got a campus that you could park in the back, you could park over here by the old offices, you could park across the street, plenty of places to park. But are any of them located where people know when they get out of their car, here's where I'm supposed to go? Which brings me to signage. You have recognized in the last year, we have added two signs in December. One that identifies the kids' ministry area and the other that identifies the student. And then the year before, we identified the activities building as actually belonging to our church. I got tired of people saying to me, vendors in particular, delivery guys, had no idea that that belonged to the church across the street. Yes, it does. It has for quite some time. And now we've got some identifying markings on it. So you pull up to a brand new place. You're sitting in your car. Maybe you found the very difficult to see guest parking, and you look at your spouse and you say, what door do you think we go in? We got a few of those, don't we? You know, and so it's like, well, I mean, we got kids and there's this kids thing out over here. Maybe we should go that way, or should we come in the front door? See some people coming in that way, parked over here, didn't find the guest parking up front, so now we're looking at that side door as a possible way to come in. And so where do I come in to where I know that I'm going to find the starting point for our visit, for our day. Now, when the weather is better, some churches are moving toward a welcome tent out in front of their church, so that you have some balloons up on a tent, you got a welcome table outside, and everybody knows, hey, start at the tent, push them towards the tent, get them in the tent, and then once you get them in the tent, get them to their class, get them to their nursery, whatever they may need. So that's an issue that is important to look at. How long does it take for a person to make up their mind as to whether or not they're going to come back for a second visit? It's very close. Rainer says 10 minutes. You got 10 minutes. So if you think from their parking lot experience, you know, if you and Don are visiting and you can't find where to park, that's strike number one. The clock's ticking, right? Man, this place, I don't know what, you know. And then you walk in and you don't know where to go because there's no signs. Well, that's, you know, you've had a rough 6 minutes, Rick. You're ready to get out of this place, man. Let's not come back here. This is crazy. So within that first 10 minutes, they're making some decisions about the warmth of the church, about the welcoming of the church, about the ease of access to the church, about the clear communication about the church. So that's definitely part of some of the decision making that that has to go on. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you that the greatest challenge that we faced sitting here tonight is that we've forgotten what it means to be a first-time guest at a church. That's the whole issue. When I say, I did it this morning, guys. I did it this morning. I couldn't believe I did it, but I did it this morning. I said, yeah, over in the old kitchen. Who knows where the old kitchen is? You know, Kelly's over here visiting with us tonight, and Kelly's like, didn't know you had an old kitchen or even a new kitchen. You know, Starla, hey, what do you mean old kitchen? Hey, on Wednesday mornings, we're having a Bible study on Hebrews at 10 o'clock, and it's over there by that old kitchen. So what do? You call Trish Monday morning. Hey, where's that old kitchen at? Pastor said it's near the old kitchen. It's not even in the old kitchen, by the way. It's in my Connect group class. So do you know where that is? Of course you don't. You know why? Because this place is a maze. You don't realize that. So you've been here too long. But when we had Brad's dad come in as a guest church mystery shopper, he said, holy cow, you've got floors, you've got levels, you've got buildings spread out, right? I remember the first time when I was in Raleigh, Jamie, you might remember this. I went to the hospital. I can't remember which one it was. And they had a yellow line, a red line, and a blue line. And they said, if you're going to the cardiac unit, just follow the yellow line on the floor. I said, praise God, this is easy. I can do this. You know, don't miss the yellow. Don't miss the, stay on the yellow. Stay on the yellow. Yellow, yellow. That's a good fellow. You know, you just yellow and then blue. Oh, I've got to go up to the maternity ward. Blue, blue, stay on blue. Please stay on blue. Blue. And you know, there's sometimes where you wish as a visitor, you're like, hey, I'm trying to get down to the nursery from up here. Stay on red. Red's to the nursery. Just stay on it. We promise it ends at the nursery, right? So how many of you, when you go to Lowe's and Home Depot, have this experience? Hey, where are the fasteners, man? I got this bolt I'm trying to get a, you know, get the end for. Where is that? 18, buddy. And what do? You go all up and down 18, don't you, Lou? You go all up, you're like, man, where is this? The person who says, you ready for this? Follow me. I'll take you to him. Oh, yes. Just let me follow you. Just say that's what you want. That's what you need, pal. Right there, right? Because that's a big store. And there's a lot of places in there that you can get turned around and you can get lost. And it's 18A and 18B. You know, a couple weeks ago, and what's helping us in this, you know, Trent's brand new. Right? And so do you remember one of the missions meetings, that the interest meeting that we advertised for the conference room? Do you remember what he said on the video? He said, "This meeting will take place in room S111G. And I thought, I don't know where S11G is, and I'm the pastor. I got in staff meeting. I was like, what are you talking about? And so it's this room right here. So Mike, I don't see Mike tonight, Mike McGuire, we talked about, let's try this and see if it's more guest friendly. Starley, you can tell us. Hey, if you're interested in the Big Creek meeting, we're going to meet right down here on these front pews. And then we're going to go from those pews into that conference room so that nobody gets lost. Or better yet, think about this. What if the Big Creek folks had t-shirts on? Follow the people in the blue t-shirts. They're headed to that meeting. They're looking for you. Ask them. Because people don't know where the conference room is. We now have two conference rooms, by the way. We've got one that's down beside Ann's office, and we've got this one. We've had people, when we say the meeting's in the conference room, go to this one, and we mean the one downstairs by the old kitchen. No. So let me give you, wow, where did that time go? I have to move quickly. Did y'all cut me out? There I am. These are going to be counterintuitive, okay? And here's why. This is a list of how not to be a welcoming church, Doug, okay? What you don't want to do is a better way to maybe say it. How not to be a welcoming church, okay? So I've got 10 of these, but I'll move really quickly because I think it helps us frame where we're going and what we need to do. Number one, the use of insider language. Okay? Listen to this bulletin announcement from a church bulletin. The youth will have their next meeting this week at Stacy's house. See Sean for directions. Team B is in charge of refreshments. Now I'm sitting in the service. I've got youth. I'd like for them to go. Who in the world is Stacy? And where is this guy named Sean? You see how counter-welcoming, counter-friendly that is? What does that say? We're a secret society, and we're going to make it really hard for you to break into this clique. That's what it says. Instead of saying, if you'd like to come to the youth meeting this week, our youth pastor, Brad Paradis, he's going to be at the Welcome Center at the end. Please walk up, introduce yourself. He'll give you some more information about the Bible study. Ooh, now what have we done? We've created a connection point, a relationship, so that face-to-face, eye-to-eye, you get to actually meet the youth pastor or the worship pastor, whatever it may be. So the use of insider language, we're going to get ruthless about that. We're going to be brutal about that moving forward, because we want people who come for the very first time not to sit there and watch announcements or read a bulletin and say, I have no idea what that's about. No clue how to get involved in that, even if I wanted to go. So go ahead and use insider language and you will be known as a unwelcoming church. Number two, don't have any signage that helps people know where to go. I walked in the vestibule or the lobby, whatever you want to call it, at Verlin Franklin's funeral. I hadn't been in the building 30 seconds, and somebody said, hey, where's the bathrooms around here? Where are they? When you walk in the lobby, where are they? See, y'all all know, right over here, plain as day. But what if you've never been here before? And do y'all like sometimes asking where the bathroom is? Or could it just be obvious? Oh, there's the bathroom. Hey, I hate to ask, but where's the bathroom? Something as simple as that. Where's the kids' area? How do I get to the nursery? Is that a clear sign up where I see, oh, yes, this is the way we want to go? That's got to be a priority in a welcoming church, signage. We have a long way to go in our signage game. The issue with signage is it costs money. So that's the battle. We want good signage, but we also have to be able to pay to it. How about number three? Make sure the bathrooms are dirty and out of toilet paper. Poor Doug was in the bathroom this morning. I'm going to tell on him. And he got over there on that automatic dispenser, and he was doing his Jedi mind trick on it. And he just, I can't get it. So we were talking, right? And I walked over, washed my hands, walked right up to it, put my hand on it, and out came the towel. You just got to have the preacher's touch, man. But what if I go into the bathroom and there's no soap? What if I go into the bathroom and there's no toilet paper? What if I go to the bathroom and it's nasty? You want to go back to that church? Does this church take any pride in its appearance and its facilities? Now, I give us a very high grade on the bathrooms. I think they're really clean. I obviously don't go into the women's bathroom. I can't speak for that bathroom. Some of you women can speak for it. But the men's, for a bunch of men, it's pretty clean, isn't it, Doug? You know? So you walk in there and you've got what you need. And it's actually a bathroom that we enjoy. It doesn't look like it's a bathroom that's been hit. How about the nursery? Laura and I went to a church, Vine Run Baptist Church, great, great first church for me. And Chris, I'm not kidding you, every toy in the nursery was from the 1950s. And I went there in 97. You know that weenie dog that's like Hasbro and you pull it along on the leash and it stretches out? Now, that thing's worth like $200 on eBay. They got three of them in the nursery. How many kids have had their mouths on that dog generation after generation after generation? But you know when a guest comes, they're looking at that kind of stuff. Man, does this nursery look unkept? Does it look unsanitary? Does it look safe? Is it secure? And that's a whole nother issue that comes up when it comes to being a welcoming church. You have to have mamas and daddies who believe that their children are going to be cared for and they're going to be secure, or they'll never come back. That's critical. And so thank you, many of you who volunteer in the nursery, who make sure that nursery is clean, who make sure the toys are not from the 50s, because when we have those guests that come in, those mamas want to have a great experience and not worry. All right, so this is how not to be a welcoming church. Number four, have no information about the church and its ministries at the welcome desk. Let me ask you a question. Where are the connect groups? Where's the sheet for the connect groups? Where are they located? How do I know where Al's class or Walt's class, where do these guys have class? By the way, that's insider language. I asked Ann tonight, I said, where's the meeting? It's in Walt's classroom. I happen to know Walt, and I happen to know his classroom, right? But just imagine if we said, we're having an informational meeting about Brazil in Walt's classroom. I'm interested. I have no idea who Walt is and where he teaches, but I'm interested, you know. So having that information at the welcome desk, we're going to be working on having a quick pick of information. What I mean by that is if you come to that welcome desk after the service and say, hey, we've got three teenagers. What do the youth do here at Madison Avenue? Boom, here you go. You're out the door with it. What about the children's ministry? Tell me about this Awana ministry on Wednesday night. And so you go back there and you look at the welcome desk, and I know, Michelle, you're kind of cloaked back there behind Dave. But having that kind of information, right? Critical information about our church, our meeting times, our locations, our ministries. You know, if someone heard on a Sunday morning that we had a preschool ministry, where would they get the information, Ann? You know what I would say? Go see Ann. Go see Samantha. Go find somebody who teaches. Kim, somebody. Because I don't think we've got a piece of paper out there, do we? If a guest said, hey, I'd like more information about that. It's in Walt's classroom, Chris. Everything is in Walt's classroom. I was so tempted, by the way, Wednesday night, brother. I was going to steal the maps out of your class. Because we are doing the book of Deuteronomy, and we are tracing the wilderness wanderings. And I looked over to my left Wednesday night, and I saw these maps. And I was like, man, I wonder if he's using maps. Can I borrow the sacred maps? No, that's in Walt's class. It stays in Walt's class. All right, so we want information. Number five, here's a way to be a church that doesn't welcome well. Single out guests at the welcome time. Here's my favorite. Ask them to remain seated while the rest of the church stands and greets. That's the worst view you could ever have of the church. You're sitting there and you're staring at everyone's rear ends. It's so wrong, right? It's so wrong. And so what he's found in his study and in his research is that guests, on their first visit, their second visit, their third visit, they want some anonymity, right? I don't want to come in here and say, hey, if you're a guest today, hey, I see this guy over here, I don't know, will you stand up and give us your name? Ooh, man, I don't want to come back. There's no telling what he's going to ask me for on the second visit. And so you just really have to be careful about that. Here's what we're learning about our Connect cards, by the way. People fill them out when they're ready to fill them out. And it's not always on the first visit. And I think there's a reputation sometimes that the church has gotten in the past, good or bad. And I know, I think we did this here many, 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 many years ago. That if you filled out a card on Sunday morning, somebody was at your door with a loaf of bread by 4 o'clock. So they've caught on and they're like, don't really want a visitor today. Don't want to drop by. And we actually put on our Connect card when we did this in Boone, please do not visit at this time. Because you want to know why? Sometimes there's a husband at home that's very anti the gospel, and the wife is coming, but she's like, let's not provoke him and make him angry. Don't come and visit yet. Let God work on him, that kind of a thing. So we need to be careful about the way we welcome our guests and process their information. So the other thing, if you pick up that green Connect card in the pew in front of you, it is very plain and very basic. And here's why. Rainer found in all of his studies that people get tired of filling out forms with tons of questions when you come to the church. So imagine this. You come to the church. You stop at the nursery. And what do you have to do at the nursery here? First-time guest. Paperwork. Right? And you come to Kenny's class, and what is Donna going to do? She's going to bring over more paperwork. And then I'm going to stand up in the worship service, and Jamie, what am I going to ask for? A little more paperwork. You know, so if a person literally fills out all the paperwork, so we have this happen quite often. If somebody goes to the nursery first, most of the time that's the only thing they fill out that day. That's what we have, just their information from the nursery. And so you have to be careful about how much information you ask for. We're asking for some kind of a cell phone and some kind of an email. That means we can email you, we can text you, or call you. If you give us your address, you get a physical letter. But if you don't give us the address, we're down to the other. Let me move on quickly. Ask a guest to move out of your seat. It's a great way to guarantee they're not coming back. Jamie, they're blaming you, brother. You asked them all to move. I promise you it's not your seat. Okay? It's not your seat. I was observing this morning. The longer I'm here, the more I get to know you. I know where you are. I know where I can hunt you down on a Sunday morning. And so this particular morning, somebody was back there where Jim's sitting. And I was like, not your seat, pal. No, not where you're supposed to be. Looked over his shoulder, and sure enough, two guests had his normal seat. And he moved without saying a word to them. That's the way it's supposed to be done. But it's just amazing to me how territorial we get. One of the things that Rainer mentioned in his book is how meaningful it is sometimes when people come in and they sit down in a church they've never been at. If someone were to say, hey, would you like to come up here and sit with us? Because what are they usually doing? They're usually what? Sitting alone. Sitting by themselves. And that point of contact for somebody to be able to say, imagine a single mother coming to the church by herself. And she's like, I'd love to have somebody to sit with. Even that kind of an invitation. Instead of asking them to move out of your seat, ask them to sit with you in your seat. All right. Number 7, let the welcome greeting time be the first time in the service that a guest is engaged, talked to, and welcomed. Jamie, when do we do our welcome mostly? About 15 minutes in? Guess what? They've already made up their mind where they're coming back before we get to the welcome time. See, if you're counting on the welcome time to suddenly be friendly, guess what? You've missed it. When do they need to know we're friendly? When they pull up in the parking lot, Dave, right? When they step out of that car and they see people and they're welcoming. And guess what? We have doors now. They can see us. We can see them. Here's what the welcoming church is going to do. We're going to stand right at the glass. Hey, we see you. Do you see us? Right? I mean, we took all the guesswork out of it for you. You can see them coming. They can see you. Hey, that goofy guy's waving at us over there in that window, that door. We better go to that door. So you can't wait until 15 minutes into the service to be friendly. Okay? Now that's where I'm going to challenge you a little bit. Could you be a little more slower to sit down on Sunday mornings? What's the hurry to get to your seat? You afraid somebody's going to take it? We have a mass of people that are here, some of them this morning for the first time, an entire family sitting back here on the third row in front of, everybody, by the way, sits in front of Trish. I don't know what it is. She's like a magnet. Juanita, Jay, y'all always seem to have guests, right? And you're like, hey, another family. Another family sat right in front of you that's been visiting our church weeks and weeks and weeks. I have offered them free meal tickets. I want to meet with you. Here's my card. All this kind of stuff. They like it. They keep coming back. And I said to them, it seems like you've picked out seats. We don't have assigned seats. No, I'm kidding. So we have to be careful that we don't let the greeting time. Never let a guest know how they can connect with a staff, with a church, etc. Or only have one method system for collecting information. Connect card, welcome center, staff contact. In other words, most welcoming churches have multiple ways to touch you and reach you, not just one. So we're not trying to set up a system where we say, hey, if we don't get that green connect card, then we're done. We're toast. We don't have any way to do anything. No, we have some ways. I will tell you one thing about Jamie. Number one, he's excellent with names, which praise the Lord for that. And two, he can stalk anybody on Facebook like nobody's business. I mean, I go in there with a first and last name, and like 15 minutes later, he's like, yep, here he is. He just swings his laptop around in staff meeting. This is the guy, wasn't it? Yep. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And now we got him. Targeting. So we want to make sure they know, for example. Do you all know that our emails are on the back? There was like 4 weeks, the first 6 months I was here, where I passed out my card during, I need to do that again, and it has my cell phone on it. I want y'all to have that. I want y'all to be able to have that to give to somebody who maybe you met and say, hey, here's our pastor's card. We've got cards. We can give cards. But I want you to hear me. I want to be accessible. So we're doing things like we haven't done before. We say, hey, if you'd like to meet the pastor or some of our staff members, come to that welcome center. And if we can make that welcome center the hub of the guest experience before and after the service, so that we have people coming back, getting that information, that will help us tremendously. We're going to have a massive greeter training very, very, very soon. And part of that is just going to include how our First Impressions team is going to work with, from the parking lot all the way to when they go back to that car, how that guest experience can be the very best that it can possibly be. We've been given some really neat, easy things that we can do. One of the things that's been suggested to us is that the Welcome Center, if we give them a bright orange, just like your t-shirt, a bright orange bag. And so you're sitting over there, and you look over there, Rick, and you're like, hey, that guy over there's got an orange bag. Guess who he is? There ain't no question at that point, right? Is he new? I don't know. Is he new? I don't. No more of that. Hey, I see the orange bag, pal. You don't have to tell him you see the orange bag, but you get the point. Anybody that can't hide that orange bag because it's big and it's bold, right? We know, hey, welcome to Madison Avenue. We're so glad you're here today. What gave it away? Oh, the big bag. Everybody that has the orange bag. So even something as simple as that. All right, I told you I was going to hurry. Don't follow up with first-time guests. It's a great way to be an unwelcoming church. Ask for their information, get their information, but don't call them, don't email, or don't text. It's a great way to not be a welcoming church. And then this is the one that we've kind of hit on already, so we won't spend time on it. When you see others that you do not know or haven't seen before, talk about them, look at them, whisper to others about them, but by all means, don't talk to them at all. And that happens so often in churches. Y'all don't realize, and we don't realize who's coming in our doors every week, but here's what we can do. We can be expecting company. If you had people coming over to your house tomorrow, what would you do? Dave, what would your wife make you do? Everything's going to get clean. Man, Laura, she gets me right on those toilets. Get in there. Clean those toilets up. My mama's coming over tomorrow. Okay. You get what? You get ready. You get prepared. We've got to be the same way with the church, and we have to expect people to come. Expect. Like when we don't have a guest or a visitor on a given Sunday, that should trouble us. Like, are you kidding? We didn't have anybody today? But I'm telling you on a consistent basis, Dave, you confirm it week in and week out. God is bringing people to this church every single week. New people. And so as we're thinking about, man, how do we embrace them, love them, welcome them? How do we get them the information that they need? How do we answer their questions? How is that all going to fit together and work? That's where we need to continue to pray and learn and teach. So think on Sunday morning about the potential that you have to be able to greet some people that you've never seen before. To be able to go up to them for the very first time. One of the things I love about Michelle is Michelle will come get me on some Sunday mornings and she'll tug on my shirt and she'll say, hey, over there in the corner, have you met them yet? No, Michelle, I haven't. Thank you. And if 20 of you did that on a Sunday morning, you wouldn't bother me a bit. Now, hurry, because if 20 guests are here, we got to move it. But Kenny and I were talking about this the other day when he went to visit two rivers. You know, beginning of this service, big church, Nashville. Guy shakes his hand. The same guy that shook his hand was the same guy that got up in the pulpit and preached the sermon. I think that makes an impact on people. When Brad, our youth pastor, is walking around the room, boom. Hey, I see you have some teenagers. Let me tell you about what we're doing. It's a connection. But we have open house every Sunday morning, and we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. We've got to be out there welcoming them in as best as the Lord equips us to do. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for some time tonight to just talk to the church family and the church body. And Father, this is on my heart. It's on our staff's heart. We have talked and prayed, and we have just asked you, Lord, to show us what a welcoming church looks like. And Father, I know our human nature. Father, we are so comfortable around others that we know. And Father, it's going to take us getting out of our comfort zones. Father, not coming in here at 10 after 10 and immediately sitting down for 20 minutes. But Lord, what if we just took 10 minutes and looked for a couple of people that we didn't know and just walked up to them? Father, we will never know how much a smile can make a difference. How much a warm greeting can make a difference. Simply saying, we're so glad you're here today. So, Father, it's the small things that we need to pay attention to, the details that we need to pay attention to. And, Father, we just want to be the kind of church that when a guest comes, they say, man, what an experience that we had at Madison Avenue. So, Father, give us wisdom and discernment and direction. Father, be with Dave, be with our First Impressions team, be with their desire to train and prepare a team of greeters and welcomers, Lord, that we can honor and glorify you. And so give us that vision, Lord, for what that's going to look like as we strengthen that in this new year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.